Welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Hot Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction haunt entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be podcast for you. And we return once again, still sick. Now still extremely tired.
Yeah.
Maybe a wee bit on the cranky and grumpy side.
Yeah, a little bit.
We've spent the weekend visiting family.
Helping people move.
So, lugging heavy shit and driving long distances and doing things that are bound to put me in a great fucking mood.
Yeah.
But yes, we have come back this Sunday in time to record. And This is an interesting episode for us because we actually have something we have, like, expertise on, or I do at least.
Yes.
And I would say we do as a group too, as a duo. But I actually have educational experience here.
Yes.
Because my degree is in journalism and mass communication. And we had an experience recently with a filmmaker who's making a short documentary about us.
Yes.
Excited about that. And we've had lots of experience with the news media. So we have finally decided to kind of put that together and talk about how to deal with the news.
Right.
It's a broad topic. We're going to go cover a lot of ground and not that much detail, unfortunately, because of the nature of the beast. But a lot of stuff going on. But first thing is first, just in case you hadn't figured it out, you are listening to Haunt Weekly. We are at hauntweekly.com, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. tinyurl.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. All of our previous episodes are there for quick and simple listening. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you find your podcast, folks, we're there. Haven't kicked us out yet. Now, as is tradition, we kick off the show doing conference reminders. It is an odd episode. Crystal, you are the oddball. Why don't you do us the honors?
Okay. First, this weekend, February 27th through March 2nd, you can go to the Maze Corn Party in Dallas, Texas, and going to Oklahoma City from there. They are starting at the Westin Dallas Fort Worth Airport Hotel, touring various mazes around Dallas and Oklahoma City, including Yesterland Farm, Mainstay Farm, and more. You can find out what that is at themaze, M-A-I-Z-E.com.
All right, after that, March 21st through the 24th, it's Trans World Halloween and Attraction Show in St. Louis, Missouri, at the America Center, co-located with Trans World's Christmas Show. The Darkness and Lent Brewery tours are scheduled, both behind the scenes and lights on, haunt lights up. There also will be a party at City Museum on Thursday, a performance by the Vampire Circus on Friday, and a Vampire Ball on Saturday. Learn more at the Haas Show, HAASHOW.com.
Okay, then it is May 10th through the 12th, West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, Oregon at the Doubletree Hotel Portland. Touring Nightmare Factory Haunted House also includes a costume ball. Actually, we have some updates here, so I'm not sure about that first one. But you can find out what all they have going on. It's a whole lot of awesome stuff put on by awesome people at hauntersconvention.com.
All right, and after that, it's May 17th through the 19th. It's Ohio Halloween and Haunters Convention at the Ohio State Reformatory in Mansfield, Ohio. They will be touring 6 haunted houses, 3 on the pre-show and 3 during the weekend. Pre-show includes Hauntville, the Hudson House, and Haunted Hydro. During the weekend, Blood Prisons, Lessons in Fear, and Trail of Nightmares. Now, there will be no zombie paintball.
Right.
The location put the kibosh on that, so we boo the location, even though they look really pretty, and it's going to be an awesome conference.
Yeah, and they might be working with them next year, so we don't want to boo them too hard.
Okay. How about boo?
That's an appropriate boo.
Okay. Yeah. But there will be a Freakers Ball party, a ghost hunt, and more. Ohio Halloween and Haunters Convention.com for more details.
Okay. June 7th through the 9th, it's Midwest Haunters Convention in Schaumburg, Illinois at the Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center Hotel. They will be touring Dead Rising, Midnight Terror, Massacre, Basement of the Dead, and Hell's Gate. MidwestHauntersConvention.com for more on that. If you want to know anything about those places. We actually were there in October and talked about them back then.
Go to our episode reviewing and covering the Lost Souls Haunted Bus Tour.
Yes.
Hosted by Japes.
Yes.
We had an amazing time. All those locations are killer.
Yes, they are.
And they're very, very different. There's a lot of good variety here. So I really do love. Because Dead Rising is like a super tiny haunt.
Yeah.
And Hell's Gate, of course, is giant and huge. And
yeah.
And you got everything in between, all different styles. You got a lot of variety.
Yes. That was one of the really great things about the bus tour was that they mixed it up.
Yeah. You really and truly did not know what was coming next in terms of style and size and so forth. It was a good... Mm-hmm. They told you a little bit on the bus what to expect. But, yeah, you went into it kind of blind, which I liked.
Right.
All right. So, dealing with the news. Every haunt I've ever spoken to, haunt owner, has talked about it in some point or another about trying to get media attention, trying to get media support.
Right.
Trying to get mentions in newspapers, news segments run about them, mm-hmm. that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Why the hell do you want to do that?
So that people know you're there.
Yeah. And that's the real reason. It is free promotion.
Yes.
Think about it this way. If the newspaper writes a quarter page article about you, mm-hmm. ends up taking like a quarter page, that's basically a free quarter page ad.
Exactly.
And a quarter page ad can be damned expensive. The news media, your local news, run a 30-second spot on you?
Yeah.
That's a 30-second commercial you didn't have to buy.
Yeah, which is huge because those are really expensive.
Same goes for radio. Same goes for magazines and everything else you might be on.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm dealing with a cough drop, guys. I'm trying not to hack into the microphone constantly. So I hear a little crinkling. That's what's going on.
Yeah. Hopefully you got it figured out.
But yes, it's free airtime, free publication space. Basically, it's free advertising. The problem is, you don't control the message.
No, and that can be very scary, especially the first couple of times that you do interviews. Because if they talk to other people in your haunt, you don't know what they're going to say.
Oh, excuse me. Holy God. I was fine until we sat down to the podcast.
I know.
I was doing great.
Yeah.
Hadn't called for bed.
Nope.
Sat down here.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Well, people will be, taking those sound bites of you coughing and putting them in their haunts.
Yes, there you go.
That would be hilarious.
There you go.
There you go. There's a good one for you.
There's a good one. You can use that. Just cut that out and it's all yours. It's free. But when I was in journalism school, one of the expressions I loved was public relations, which is sometimes called press relations, but it's public relations. It's basically advertising plus a filter you can't control.
Yeah.
It's advertising plus many steps. But for those many steps, you get free advertising.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ. Sorry about this. You don't get to choose how much, where it appears, what it looks like, what the message is. So what we're trying to focus on here, and what you need to focus on, is getting the message that's closest to what you want and as much of that as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, don't give a lot extra if you don't want it in there, basically.
Yeah, basically. So the very, very first step is you have to get media attention.
Hey, we're here!
Yeah, that can be surprisingly difficult.
Yeah.
And I have seen, this is something I've seen both large and small haunts really struggle with.
Yeah.
Especially if they exist in a crowded space.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about some ways to do that real fast. And first, and the most common one everyone talks about, is press releases. Now, I'm going to be honest and transparent before we begin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the biggest fan of press releases.
Right. Neither am I. I've worked at companies that's used them.
Yeah.
Never were very effective for when we used them. And we had a couple of newspapers, not for our haunt, but in the business that I worked in, would send us a news release and say, hey, can we put your name to this?
Yeah.
Saying, and I'm like, I don't like that.
No.
But
here's the thing. If you want to do press releases, there are a bunch of sites that can really help you out. PR Newswire, PR Web are the two big ones right now. They can really help you out. However, if we're being honest, since we're all dealing with local markets, you're really not trying to push a national message out, most likely.
Unless you're huge. If you're huge, hi!
Hi, welcome to the podcast.
Yes.
What are you doing here?
Pretty much.
You've clearly come into the wrong neighborhood. But if you're big enough to push a national message, please, you know, you made some mistakes.
Right.
But if you're doing local, you have a finite number of resources that you need to contact. You probably have 3 or 4 TV stations, 1 or 2 newspapers.
Right.
And maybe a handful of radio stations.
Yeah.
If that's the case, it's really easy to do the research, find where to send the press releases, and just create a small email distribution list.
Yeah.
And then all you've got to do is draft a press release and send it to that email list. Oh. Easy peasy.
It is. And then you just keep that list and update it, make sure that, you know, nothing's changed.
And those addresses don't change often, but you do want to make sure it's up to date.
Right, because I know that we've got a couple of reporters that we have contact with that contact us every year.
Yeah.
But we do make sure there's still the person in charge of that section that would cover us.
So, what is a press release? I will talk about the sage advice. Oddly enough, I took a PR class. I didn't get that great sage advice about writing press releases. The sage advice I got was in my reporting class.
Right.
Where the instructor said, basically, if you want to write a good press release, just write the news article you would ideally like them to run.
Yeah.
And hand them that.
Yeah.
Now,
which makes a lot of sense.
Because here's the thing. Some publications may actually run it.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that often. It's crazy when it does. And it's kind of sort of considered plagiarism in journalism to do that, especially without disclosing it's a press release.
Right.
But yeah, that actually does happen sometimes. But if you draft an article that's well-written and in a newspaper format, they may use it, or at the very least it will make the job of them using information from it much easier.
Right.
So yeah, just basically write the article you want to see appear, send it to the people who run press releases. Now, there are other formatting things. You have to do a header for immediate release and things like that, or if you're embargoing it, say when you're embargoing it too. There are other odds and ends. But you can look that stuff up online trivially. The body of it, just write a news article.
Yeah.
Just write a damn news article. You'll be fine. But here's the thing with a press release. You have to have something to announce.
Right.
Now, it doesn't have to be huge. You can be announcing the dates of your new season. You could be announcing your new theme. Maybe a new attraction or a new band or entertainment lineup you're announcing for the next year.
Yeah.
But something that you're announcing, something that's news, it must contain news. And like I said, to be completely fair, press releases are kind of falling out of vogue. And when they are being used, they're being used in less and less ethical ways, to be frank.
Yeah. I can see that happening.
I'm seeing a lot of publications out there. They're just taking press releases and some of the reasons to do it as an article and splicing in paragraphs and basically using it as a shortcut to real reporting. As a journalism major, as someone that comes from that background, I am disgusted by that behavior.
Right.
But since we're talking about this from the press release side, the PR side of it, this is an amazing thing. And, yeah, that's how you encourage it, is by writing a news article.
Yes, and writing one that's good, written
and,
well.
Yeah. And here's my, and honestly, if you're not comfortable writing a news article, find someone who is.
Yeah.
It should be about 250 to 500 words, somewhere in that range. Long enough to have the information, but not too wordy. But, yeah, find someone who is a journalism major, find someone with that background. They can probably whip it up in no time.
Yeah, and aren't there some online places where you can hire someone to write something like this for you?
Yes, you probably could find someone online easily, sites like Fiverr or whatever. But I think I'd rather have someone I know and can strangle if they do a terrible job.
Well, yeah, that would probably be better, because then you have a new prop for your haunt.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, in all the years we've been open, and we've been, like I said, this is our 14th season coming up.
Right.
We have never sent a press release that I can recall.
No.
We may have done one around our 10th anniversary. I don't really recall.
No, they contacted us. In fact, that was funny. That was really funny because Doug over at...
Yeah, Doug McCash, yeah.
Doug McCash over at the Times-Picayune contacted us and said, hey, have you been open for 10 years?
Yes. That's exactly how we began the conversation, too. No, yeah. Hi, is this Bernie Baxter? No, hi, this is Doug McCash. Just, hey, have you guys been open for 10 years? Literally, first damn line out of his mouth. Yeah.
Like, and whoa. It's like, holy shit, we have been. We should have really thought of that and built it into the damn design.
And it's really funny because I have his number like programmed in my phone.
Yeah.
So it shows up as Doug McCash when he rings. That's how often he's called.
Yeah.
My own grandmother, when she was alive, didn't get a contact entry. But yeah, Doug McCash does.
Yeah.
But yeah, seriously. But the reason to do press releases is that they are free. They don't take a lot of time.
Right.
And they may be useful. Now, what we have found as stupid useful is calendar and event lists.
Yes.
Make goddamn sure, good goddamn sure, you are on every event calendar you can find.
Yeah.
In a city like New Orleans, or God help you, a bigger city, there's going to be a lot of them. Every single one. Get on there.
Yeah, and those are usually free listings.
Exactly. They are free listings.
Yes.
And here's the thing that's really beautiful about those. They are run by entertainment editors.
Yep.
Whoever is like the editor or the head of the entertainment usually at least does something with that list. They usually at least touch it.
Yeah.
And the result of that is it gets you in front of their eyeballs. And they go, holy crap, there's a new Honda opening. Hey, they're announcing a new theme this year. Or
it's a big anniversary
year.
Anniversary
or whatever. They might reach out to you on their own volition.
Yeah.
And that's how we get a lot of our attention.
Right.
We make sure we're in all the TV stations, all the radio stations, all the little weekly newspapers, all the two dailies we have, The Advocate and Times-Picayune.
Right.
We make sure we're in all of them.
Yeah.
And the thing is, in every single case I just listed, it's a form.
Yeah.
It's a form you fill out online because they're always begging for entries.
Mm-hmm.
And they welcome these. They make it as easy as possible to submit it.
Yes, they do.
So, yeah, this great. And the other great thing about it from a news standpoint is it makes sure that they know who you are and all your details and your contact information.
Mm-hmm.
This is just so great for us.
Yeah.
One suggestion that came from a HauntCon a few years back. I wish I could remember who said it. My apologies to the speaker if they're listening to this. Please feel free to drop me a link and kick me in the butt.
Or just ask to be put into the show notes.
Yeah. We will do something with that. But press events. Invite the press out for exclusive events to them.
Right.
It could be press-only tours.
Mm-hmm.
You could give them lights off and lights on tours through the haunt on a press night before season. What?
I think it was Scott.
Scott Swenson?
Yes.
Maybe.
I think so.
Okay, we're going to attribute it to Scott Swenson until further notice.
Yeah.
Until the real Slim Shady, please stand up.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was looking at this and I'm like, wow, this is really familiar. Now
you were in the class.
Yes, I was.
Offer them the chance to be an actor on a night.
Right.
Especially if it's like an off night or like a Thursday or something, where you might be able to stick them in a role. And here's the thing. Every haunt should have roles that anybody can do.
Yeah.
You've got to have idiot roles.
Yeah. Or
if you don't
prefer to call them newbie roles.
Okay, newbie roles. Fine, newbie roles. But you got to have some kind of role that anybody can walk on and do.
Right. You
just
don't have
put
to
put on a mask. You don't have to have any actor training.
No timing,
bang on this,
nothing.
Use this drop panel.
Yeah.
Whatever. You got to have those newbie spots. Put them in one of those. Let them experience scaring people.
Yeah.
Give them access to behind-the-scenes areas, obviously, is another idea. But basically, give them special access to the haunt itself in some way. Give them something that other people can't get.
Right.
And encourage them to come out. Because here's the thing. Press people are people. I know it doesn't seem that way. I know that some of this is shocking and surprising information, but hear me out. They are people. And they love feeling special.
Yes.
If you give them something special, something unique, something that, you know, the plebeians can't have.
Yeah.
Might be motivated.
Yeah.
You might be surprised. You can't buy their love, but you might be able to get a story out of it, basically is what it comes down to.
Exactly.
And here's the thing. The press events also provide an easy way for them to get in contact with you,
mm-hmm.
because now you've got a more personal relationship with them.
Right.
You've exchanged phone numbers. This isn't an email thing or whatever. You've actually got a human contact here,
yeah,
which is a big deal.
It is.
And finally, next up, rather, I should say, we have a little more. Mm-hmm. Consider free tickets. Now, I know haunts are loath to give away free tickets,
mm-hmm.
but here's the thing. Press tickets are an easy way to make sure the press at least comes to your door.
Right. So if you open at early, especially if you open, you know, mm-hmm. end of September, mm-hmm. you're going to be in their October newspapers.
Yeah. It's a great way to at least get their attention because, once again, people, and press of people are people.
Yeah.
People love free shit.
Yes. I would also extend this to your local colleges. Newspaper.
Yes.
You know, if they've got a press reporter who specializes in events going on, make sure you find out who that person is.
Yeah.
Because college kids will eat this up, and that's your target audience.
That's a big part of it, at least, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you do give free tickets, make sure to give enough so that multiple reporters can go,
mm-hmm.
as well as seconds.
Yeah.
Plus ones.
Yeah.
You know, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatevers, friends. Yeah. And the reason is this. Haunted attractions fundamentally are a group or at least a couple event. Mm-hmm. Very few people want to go to haunted houses alone. You and I would. I mean, we're idiots and we prefer going with each other.
Yeah.
But if we were separated for some reason, if I was in a different city,
yeah.
and an opportunity to go to a haunt, I would definitely go on my own. But I'm weird like that.
Yeah.
However, if you do offer press tickets, make sure to track them closely. Make sure you have a control mechanism where you can track them. You don't want this to end up being abused.
Right.
You don't want the press to basically use the press tickets as giveaways. If they want to do giveaways or promotions, that's a separate thing.
Yeah.
And that's a completely separate ball of wax from this.
Right. Do you have any examples of how you would be able to track this? Like, would they need... If golden tickets with press pass on it.
You can do that if you're using tickets with barcodes. It gets exceptionally easy,
mm-hmm.
because then all you got to do is classify the press tickets with a different barcode.
Right.
And see how many press came through.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have that, you can always, like you said, do Willy Wonka golden ticket type stuff and
yeah.
have specially printed tickets for them.
How do you make sure that it's the press coming through and that they're not raffling them off or giving them away
and that is damn near impossible, but I guess one of the keys there is to give enough so that a couple of people can come, but not enough so that they have that.
Gotcha.
You get a balance how many you give. Because you can't be the stingy haunt that's like, oh, you're a big newspaper, here's two free tickets.
Yeah.
And give four, give six, come on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Give enough so that if two reporters get the idea to go, they can take their partners and go.
Right.
Yeah, but don't give them 20.
No.
Because at that point, they're just going to be making it rain somewhere. And you don't want that either. You got to balance it. That'd
right.
be my advice. But here's the thing. As long as you find an angle, you're not going to have that much difficulty getting media attention. As long as you try for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. We've never personally had to fight for media attention. We've always gotten some, knock on wood... luckily, I have some wood right here.
Right.
knock on wood, we've never had any trouble. As long as we've been pursuing it, we've gotten it.
Yeah.
The very first year, because that very first year was after Katrina.
Right.
We had newspapers covering us then. The weirdos in Algiers Point opening up a haunted attraction for free and all this, you know.
Yeah, we were in the what to take your kids to, because
yeah.
that list was very, very short that year.
And we did not have a lot of competition, it turned out.
No. We did not.
We did not.
And then the next year, I was actually working at a newspaper.
Yeah.
And so they had the editor contact you.
I mean, our angle is, look, we have a small but very well-built, professionally built, professionally designed haunted attraction.
Yeah.
That we opened for free.
Yeah.
And we've been doing that now for 14 years.
Yeah.
That's a very simple pitch.
We are going to have a 20-year blowout if we make it to 20.
I don't dispute that.
Yeah.
Find an angle. If you are a home haunt, pitch that free element.
Right.
Find an attack that... the media likes.
Right. If you are a home hunt who takes donations for charity, make sure you get that charity in there.
Yes.
If you do charity for a big hunt, make sure you mention it.
Yes. Find an angle. If you are the biggest hunt, then say that. If you're the longest running hunt, say that. Find an angle to get the media's interest. You can get attention. Haunted attractions can get attention, especially in their local area.
Right.
Now, we've been like Chicago, where there's like a haunt every 30, you know, stones throw from each other.
Yeah.
30 stones throw. That's a.
I know. I was wondering what you were talking. Okay. So there's a lot in close proximity. You can have a whole bus tour around it.
Yeah, apparently. But you can still get local media attention.
Right. And what you don't want to do is say, we're the scariest one.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't try the same pitch everyone else is. Try to do something like, you know, if we're the most interactive.
Yeah.
We are, you know, whatever. Go with that angle.
Yeah.
Find an angle. Make yourself unique. Give the media a reason to pay attention to you. You won't fight.
Yeah.
Media, and this is the thing. Media is always looking for stuff to recommend around Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Just get in that shuffle. It's easy.
Yeah.
All right, some quick general tips for dealing with the media. Wow, we're going to run, might run a little long this week. What every reporter wants to hear from you. And you might have heard me talk about these exact things in the How to Build a Website talk. We had an episode we did a while back.
And in the general advertising.
Yeah. What they want to hear. Who, what, when, where, why, and how.
Mm-hmm.
The five W's and the H. Make sure it's on your site. Make sure it's in the very first communication you send them. Don't make them hunt for any of those things.
No.
Let them know who you are, what you are, when you're open, where you are, why you're unique, and how to get to you and how to pay you money.
Yes. Don't keep them in the dark.
Six things. Make sure that is clear. Also, make sure that what you're doing is news.
Yeah.
What is news? News is new, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
It is also notable and important. An example they always give in reporting class is dog bites man, not news.
No.
Dogs bite people, it's kind of an ordinary thing. Man bites dog, that might well be news.
Yeah.
That might be well news because it's new, it's notable. But if man bites dog 80 years ago, not news.
No.
Man bites dog yesterday or 3 hours ago, might be news.
Yeah.
Might be news. So focus on what's new and notable when you're making your pitch. Make sure you have good answers to the following questions. And there's a bunch of them. So this might be the part you take a few notes. Clear my throat. One, what makes your attraction special and unique? What makes you unique? You. What makes you, basically?
Mm-hmm.
Two, why do you do what you do? Every haunted attraction owner is going to get asked this by the news media.
Yes.
I don't know what it is about this particular question, and it's fun is not an acceptable answer. It may be the honest one.
Right.
It's fun or we make money might be the honest answers, but they're not acceptable. Come up with a better one.
Yeah.
All right. What is the story of your haunt?
Mm-hmm.
How did you get started? When did you get started? How did you grow? When did you move? What's the story? What's your narrative?
What's your origin story?
Yeah, if we're watching the first movie in the Marvel Universe about your haunt, what's the plot?
Yes, or DC Universe, as Ellie will tell you.
Yes, I know. What's the story inside your haunt? What is it about, basically? What's
yes.
going on in there?
This is the second part of that.
Yep, it's a separate question. What do you hope people get from your haunt?
Mm-hmm.
And the final, two more questions. How can people learn more about you and what you do?
Mm-hmm.
Every reporter is going to ask this somewhere toward the end of the interview.
Yeah.
The answer is your website.
Right.
And that who, what, when, where, why, how? Make sure that's on the website.
Yeah.
Simple. And the final question you always get asked, anything you want to add?
Yeah.
I hate that question.
I do too. You do it to me almost every damn week.
I know.
And I hate it.
I'll stop doing it then.
Okay, fine.
Fine. Just a new programming note. But yeah, I mean, that is a difficult question, especially if you've been interviewing well, which we'll get into in a minute,
mm-hmm.
and you've probably said everything that you really want to say.
Right.
But maybe just have a little something to throw out there. Just remember something you can toss out. Something
yeah.
real short, real snappy. It can help you out. So, tips for dealing with print journalists. Oh, those print journalists, they're assholes. Like I said, might have been my my major, my degree. Remember that every email, every phone call you send is on the record unless you expressly state otherwise.
Yeah.
Also, remember that every phone call you have with a print journalist is likely recorded. They'll probably warn you. They usually do. They usually ask you before they do it. I've never had a reporter not. But just in case they have an off day and forget, I'm reminding you now.
Yes.
When dealing with print journalists, whether you're speaking on like on a phone conversation or you're writing to them by email or instant messenger or, I don't know, Snapchat or whatever the hell you use.
Whatever they use.
Try to answer in full, longer-ish sentences.
Right.
Avoid one-word answers. No, yes, no, maybe. I don't know. Because I know I don't know is technically three words, but typically when people say in that context, it comes up, and it's one word.
Well, not only that, but you want to know. You want to know the answers because, you know, that makes for a better story.
Try to avoid one-word answers, you know, as much as you can. Now, a good reporter will ask questions where there really isn't a one-word answer.
Right.
But that being said, as a reporter who has asked questions to people, I have asked many questions that cannot be answered in one word, only to get an answer in one word.
It's very frustrating.
Don't be that asshole!
Yeah.
Don't be that asshole, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to be verbose. You don't have to sit there and, like, pontificate forever.
Yeah. But you don't have to do a 45-minute podcast on it. But
no, that's our job.
Yeah.
But don't, like, yes, no, or I... Speak like a human being, basically.
Right. And have some of those answers prepared so that they're quick, easy to remember, and can be like catchphrases. They can be like catchphrase link in case you didn't...
No one got that because I literally blew out the mic off.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm very sorry about that.
It's okay.
Like I said, I was fine before we sat down.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway. With print journalists in particular, be very quick with replies. With broadcast journalism, you often have a little more flexibility.
Well, you know, you say that, but we were contacted by the news... by the local TV station, and they came out that afternoon to film.
Yeah, they did. And that does happen sometimes, but oftentimes with news, they can say, okay, we can't get it in today's broadcast, we'll get it in tomorrow's.
Right.
Meanwhile, for print publications, if you miss this deadline, it's over.
Yeah.
There's not necessarily tomorrow's paper on that one.
Yes, the answer should always be, yes, I have time to meet with you now.
Yeah, when do you want to meet? How do you want to meet? Do you want to do it on the phone? Do you want to do it in person? Whatever.
Yeah.
One piece of advice I would offer is to have a special email address for dealing with the media.
Yeah.
And have this email address be somewhat hidden. Maybe don't put it on the site, but maybe send it with your press releases or use it in conjunction with your conference conference reminders. when you're getting on the event calendars and all that.
Right.
Use it in conjunction with that. And that way, you will get dings immediately and you'll know it's that.
Yeah.
Maybe don't have it routed through your general all-purpose email. Yeah,
media at blah, blah, blah,
exactly.
.com.
Press at whatever.
Yeah.
Run with it. That way you can answer immediately, if at all possible, and just remember that you may only have one chance with a reporter per year, per season.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, if a reporter contacts you, wants to do an article, and you're not able to connect right away and make that story happen, that may be your only chance that season. Maybe next year. But that's it for that year, probably.
Right. And I have seen a few haunts that put their press releases on their site with a link for the press to contact them at the end of it.
And that's a good idea in general. But main thing there is be very, very quick and punctual when dealing with the press. They are and it is true for both print and broadcast, but they're dealing with tight deadlines. They're trying to get this done as quickly as possible. If you aid that, then you're going to move. Because here's the thing. Here's the dirty secret that no one's going to tell you. Reporters are probably working on half a dozen stories at any given time.
Yeah.
That's being generous to say half a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
It may be half a dozen. It may be more. It may be less. But they're going to be working on a bunch of stories at once.
Right.
if they go, okay, I'm going to email blah, 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 haunt and see what I can get from them, and you write back immediately, they're going to go, oh, this is going to be an easy story. Yeah. These guys are super cooperative and helpful.
Yeah.
I can knock this out in no time, and that makes more time for these other stories that are being a pain in the ass.
Right. Exactly.
You move to the front of the line. Mm-hmm. And that's where you want to be, you know? So, yeah, put yourself in that position. Immediate responses to the press. And then part of that also, by the way, means having someone, whether it's like you as the owner or you as an owner or you as a press person or you as whatever, who is authorized to talk to the press immediately and constantly. Mm-hmm. Like with me, since I handle most of the PR stuff, I'm that person here.
Yeah.
I get the email. I'm perfectly able to contact. I try to bring Crystal in at all anytime I can, but if you're at work or something and can't do the interview right then.
Well, and the other thing is that that email that's set up for the press usually goes to both of us. Mm-hmm. And so if I see it come across
and
my screen,
yeah.
I make sure to text you and say, hey, reporter contacted us.
Yeah, exactly.
Please get
and that's
back in
the
touch.
Thing is... You need to have someone who can have that contact and has that authority immediately. So what you want to avoid is, hang on, I've got to talk to so-and-so and have permission to talk to you. Hours pass and whatever, and you miss your opportunity because you couldn't run it up whatever appropriate flagpole.
Right.
These should not have a flagpole to go up.
No.
All right.
Direct link to the top.
Exactly. Or at least someone with enough authority to talk to the damn press.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh. Anyways. Now, tips for dealing with video and audio. Mostly video is what we're talking about here, though a lot of this works for audio, too. Mm-hmm. When dealing with video and dealing with any kind of television press, make yourself look decent. I'm not saying don't be ugly, but I'm saying shower and shave and do the things you do to make yourself pretty. Make yourself comfortable in your skin.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whatever that is. I mean, if Paul Heyman can go out wearing a nice suit and slick back hair and feel good about himself with that mug, you can do the same damn thing. And if you don't know who Paul Heyman is, just Google it. It's H-E-Y-M-A-N. Trust me. It's a wrestling thing. You'll figure it out in your own time. Great piece of advice. Have company shirts you can wear. Polo shirts, ideally.
Right.
But have company shirts that you can wear that have your logo, so that way when you're on camera, that's there. Sort of like a little billboard.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the shot. Because here's the thing to remember about video, is that oftentimes it's played in bars, airports, restaurants, places where there might not be audio. Mm-hmm. So all the people are seeing at the bottom, might be captions, but they're seeing the bottom thirds and they're seeing whatever they can read on the screen. Make sure your name is visible.
Yeah. In fact... For our video, we wore our Haunt t-shirts, which have Bernie Baxter right across the chest in big, bold letters.
Though Japes apparently has found people who says our shirt is too scary. I wish to inform Japes that we are working on revised shirts that will be less scary. For future years.
That's funny.
But yeah. So yeah, have a company shirt. Have a way to get your name and presence on there. Next up, for the love of baby Jesus, don't object to in-haunt B-roll. Mm-hmm. I hear haunts do this all the time. Oh, yeah, we'll have the media out, but we're not going to let them shoot inside the haunt. You got to buy a ticket to see anything inside. Fuck you. Fuck you, you dingbat. They're trying to shoot a goddamn hype piece for your haunt.
Yeah.
And you're telling them no.
Yeah.
What kind of dingus are you? Oh my god, I heard a haunt say that once, and I nearly strangled a bitch at HauntCon one year. I cannot remember who it was, and we're keeping that one that way.
Yes.
I'm not seeking that motherfucker out.
No.
Because I might kill him.
No.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Here's the thing. Here's what you do. And here's what we did, because we had a TV crew this year.
Right.
I said, look, shoot whatever you want in the haunt. This is a scare. That's the thing we don't want shown. Shoot whatever else you want.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. They're only going to shoot like 30 to 40 seconds of your haunt.
Yeah.
Even an hour, tiny, minuscule, pea-sized haunt. Mm-hmm. That is only like the tiniest fraction of it.
Right.
I can shoot. Why do people do that?
I don't know. I don't know why they do that. And that also works with photographers, too.
Yes.
Because we've told
them. Newspaper photographers. Yes, exactly.
Because we've told them, hey, just don't shoot the scare over here. Yeah, shoot anything else.
Hey, don't shoot the guts box. Don't shoot the drop panel locations that were all down at the time.
Right.
Don't shoot those.
Anything else is fine.
No, they did good. And they you know what? They very politely avoided that and got some really great hype B-roll for us.
Yeah.
Why? Oh, anyway, sorry. If you can provide lighting assistance.
Yes.
Please do. Uh-huh. Even our crappy, lame-ass Amazon purchased on deep discount, quote-unquote, prosumer lighting kit we have was a huge asset.
Yeah.
Especially if they don't have like a team of videographers and so forth. Like when the last time a TV reporter came out to our haunt, it was just him.
Yeah.
It was him and his camera and his GoPro clippy thingy and some other stuff. And I'm looking at it going, how the fuck's he going to film in our haunt?
Yeah, I know.
So we turned the house lights up. We brought out our lighting kit. We did what we could to help him.
Right.
And it was a big help. It helped light the scene and it took a lot of the burden off of him to figure out how to make it all work.
Yeah.
Shooting in a haunted attraction, it's dark, there's unpredictable lighting everywhere, there's blinky shit. Don't make it harder on them.
No.
Make it easy to shoot video. And like I said, especially if they don't have a huge team, and they may not, that's increasingly becoming the way these are shot.
Yeah, and one of the things that I learned this year was we always plan to have the haunt ready to go by third week. Third week, we plan on having enough done so that if media comes out, they can have something to shoot. Well, I'm thinking that we need to up that.
Yeah, get 2 weeks out.
So 2 weeks before you open, make sure that you've got...
At least enough to shoot.
Yes, enough to get some B-roll.
All right, yeah, exactly. And have a place to talk to you in.
Right.
Because they're not going to want to talk to you in your office.
No, they're going to want to talk to you in the haunt in a cool scene.
Yeah, something visual, something awesome. Some people grab people's eyes as they're flipping through the channels.
Yeah.
They're hype people too, man. Just figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
When doing interviews for audio, for radio or video or TV or YouTube or whatever, you have to still avoid one-word answers. No, yes, no, maybe, I don't know, whatever. But do keep your answers shorter and snappier. Don't, you know, like, I would say, like, dealing with print journalism, you can do a paragraph per answer. 3 or 4 good sentences.
Right, because they'll pick the ones they want.
Exactly. They can snip out the quotes and it's done. With this, 1 to 2 sentences is about all you really want to do. You want something punchy, something that's good, you know, for a sound bite. Get in, get out, and say your piece. Yeah, and if you're doing the interview with 2 people... try to make sure they talk about it evenly. Now, I don't know if you've noticed on this podcast, I tend to be a bit more talkative than Crystal.
Yes, you do. That's in life in general.
I'm more gregarious, we'll say.
Yes.
But that's a challenge we had to deal with in the interview especially. Mm-hmm. Because here, if I talk a little bit more, it's not a big deal. You'll get your piece in and we'll go back and forth and we'll balance over time. But in like a 3 to 5 minute interview, you got to really focus on that.
Right.
Like I said, in this, one of us can go a few, like 5, 3 or 4 minutes with the other person talking. Not a huge deal.
Yeah.
Can't do that crap in the interview.
No, you can't. And in fact, they asked the way that we wound up getting close to balance time was A, editing on their part, but B, they asked some questions that were specifically targeted at me that I could answer.
Yeah. And
so both people have to prepare answers for all those questions that were mentioned earlier.
Exactly. Because if the reporter senses that, hey, you are not talking enough, they may ask a pointed question at that person.
Right.
And yeah, that... You know, it's good strategy on their part, but it may put someone on the spot with a question maybe they don't have the precise answer to.
Right.
So that's a good point there. Everybody has to prepare on the same material.
Right, yeah. And whereas you are very good at on-the-spot answers, I'm not that great. I'm getting better, but...
The podcast has been very good practice for you. I'm going to say that. It has been very good practice for you. I will say that.
Yeah.
Basically, also, follow the instructions that the camera person gives you, whoever it is, if it's the reporter, if it's a separate camera person. As far as being on camera, try not to be stiff and frozen. Basically, relax, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Be free with your hands. Gesticulate some. Be natural. Don't keep them by your side like you're carrying suitcases while you're sitting there, you know, giving this interview or standing there giving the interview. Lean forward. Have an open posture. And just sort of interact. Be yourself. Be expressive. And if you're not naturally an expressive person, maybe bring someone else on camera.
Or try to fake it
for a few minutes.
Because, yeah.
Also, have the questions, the answers to the question mentioned above memorized in some way, but don't memorize them word for word.
Mm-hmm.
This is important. If you sit there and you're like, today I am reading the report on To Kill a Mockingbird, written by J.D. Sandan.
Yeah.
You know, if you do that, you're going to sound fake.
Right.
You're going to sound artificial. Remember bullet points. Remember the things you want to say. I want to hit ding, ding, ding. These three things in this answer. And how you get there, roll the dice. One thing I think is helpful is to practice an elevator pitch,
mm-hmm.
especially for those questions. Elevator pitch, for you don't know, it's supposed to be a pitch you give to someone when you're standing next to them in an elevator. It's about 30 seconds long. Work on it. And remember, the press is a cooperative gathering.
Mm-hmm.
This is for all media, by the way. This is getting back to all media. They are cooperative. They can and will help you, but you have to help them. Scratch their back, they'll scratch yours. The more you do for them, the more they'll do for you. It just works that way. Give them the information they need. Give them a reason to write about or otherwise cover you. Don't make them wait for your replies. Be prepared. Be interactive. Be engaged with them. Be a good interview subject. You will get good press.
Yes. Also, I just wanted to mention real quick, when the TV person came out to record us,
yes.
you already had a 30-second clip, promo clip, in your head that you had practiced.
Yeah, in character.
That they were able to shoot and include.
Yeah.
So be sure to have something like that.
Yeah, especially if you have characters.
Yeah.
And this is something that, especially if you do like a front of house character like I do, it might be difficult to have a 30-second or something like a quick promo.
Right.
You can do like, I cut promos in my head all the time. I'm always ready to cut a promo.
Right.
But some people aren't that way. Some people aren't freaks like me.
Yeah.
So if you're that person, if you're a normal human being, maybe think about that.
Yes.
All right. Now, I wanted to end this with the other side of the coin,
mm-hmm.
which is when the press ain't happy with you.
Yeah.
The press is a hostile force. Now, I hope that you never get bad press. Once again, knock on freaking wood.
Right.
We have never had a situation where the press has been anything but our bestest buddy.
Yeah.
But something goes wrong, something happens, you may find yourself dealing with bad press. How to deal with it. This could be a whole other podcast, honestly. But since we were talking about how to deal with the press, it seemed important to at least
touch on it. We may follow up. Who knows?
We may follow up. If you're interested in this, please let us know. Haunt Weekly on Facebook, Haunt Weekly on Twitter, blah, blah, blah. And let us know what you think. Or just email us, hauntweekly.com, blah, 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 blah. You know the drill. Okay, first and foremost, when dealing with bad press, if the bad press or bad publicity involves a potential legal issue, consult your attorney before doing or saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
Bad press sucks.
Right.
But screwing up your legal case is much, much worse.
Yes, and that includes legal cases you may not know are going to be brought against
yeah,
you.
If there's a potential legal issue over this, consult with your attorney before you say anything, before you respond.
Yeah.
If your lawyer says shut up, shut your dick licker.
Mm-hmm.
You're done. Just say, due to potential legal issues, we have no comment. It sucks. It means people are going to jump all over your bones. But it's better that they jump on your bones in the court of public opinion than in the court of law.
Right.
Believe me. All right. But let's say it's not. Let's say it's something stupid like that haunt that did the Nazi night or whatever the hell, the swastika night or...
Yeah.
Or something that's really stupid. really poor taste, but not necessarily illegal.
Yeah.
How's that? Something along those lines. The four keys to dealing with bad press, and you'll learn this in any PR class, transparency, authenticity, engagement, listening. If you, we should have really rearranged it because it's supposed to be the teal method.
Well, you're the one.
I know. I wrote the goddamn notes.
Okay. So transparency, engagement, authenticity, listening.
Teal. T-E-A-L.
It's a color.
My favorite term in all of all of the PR classes I took and everything I took on that side was the term radical transparency.
Mm-hmm.
That is when you are transparent beyond what seems to be obligatory.
Right.
Radical transparency is the biggest key. Be honest. Overshare a little bit can help. Be more transparent, more open than the media is asking you to be. The reason you do that is because it makes people believe you.
Mm-hmm.
When you completely open yourself up, and warts and all, people will believe. And the thing about this is what you're trying to stop is not people knowing about or the dumb things or the bad things, but you're trying to stop them from creating theories about worse things.
Right. Yes. Yes, because our brains do go to worse places.
Yes. If you did a night or a promotion that was culturally insensitive.
Right.
And maybe you didn't realize it. Maybe you didn't think of it that way. Okay. If you're open and honest about it and say, we were idiots. We didn't realize this. We were stupid. We were hurtful. We're sorry. You know, we did not mean it in any way. That at least prevents people thinking, well, they're doing it because they're racist or they're doing it because they're assholes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It stops that train. That's what you want. If you messed up, admit you messed up.
Yeah.
Apologize, be honest, say what you did was wrong, and discuss how you're going to improve in the future. And most importantly, and I'm looking at anyone who ever has to apologize for any reason, no if apologies.
Mm-hmm.
An if apology, for the record, is, Crystal, I'm sorry if what I did hurt you. That is a shit apology.
Yes, it is.
It's a fucking horrible apology. I look at Crystal and say, Crystal, I'm sorry that I hurt you.
Yeah.
Better.
It is. Just take out that one little word.
That one word makes such a big difference. If you say the word if anywhere in your apology,
mm-hmm.
you just throw it all out.
Yep.
Screw you, it's over.
Yep.
I'm sorry that I hurt you. It was not my intention to hurt you. Here's what I'm doing different in the future. Here's a few actionable steps I'm taking right now to prevent blah, blah, blah from happening again.
Yep.
And you move from there. Basically, you apologize, you admit you screwed up, you say what you did that was wrong, and then you say how you're going to do better in the future. And you list actionable steps that they can verify that you're doing today. All this transparency has to appear authentic. Don't do the stupid thing people do, and that haunt, once again, was Swastika Night Haunt, did this exact thing. Where it's like, oh, man, people are mad at us because we had a swastika night. Who saw that coming?
Yeah.
And then we're donating money to the Jewish League.
Yeah.
Or what, some Jewish charity. I don't remember what it was. It might have been the Jewish League. Might have been the Justice League. I don't know. But it was something. They donated to a Jewish charity. That doesn't work.
No.
It's
especially not because, and this is part of going back to that authenticity, is that people went and they looked at their past events.
Yes.
And they realized pretty much all, every year, they've had something that's been offensive.
Yeah. You can't donate this away. A donation can be part of it. If it has to be, maybe it's not a bad idea. But it's not your only action. You have to do other things.
Right.
And
this should not be your strategy for getting on the news.
No. God, no.
Because it seems like that particular haunt, it's their strategy.
There are people who will say something like, you know, no such thing as bad press. Those people are wrong.
Yeah. No kidding.
Those people are wrong. Trust me. Okay. You must change your behaviors. You must explain that you understand why what you did or what happened is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, no if apologies. Please. This is like a general life pro tip here. Screw press.
Doing life pro tips now.
If you apologize to your partner, if you apologize to your boss, if you apologize to anyone
mm-hmm.
with an if, you have failed at apology.
Yes.
I'm sorry if that offended. No. Okay. Once you've done that, engage and discuss within reason. You can't do this forever. You can't, like I said, be dealing with this on social media months and years into the future. But within a reasonable time frame, talk, engage. And most importantly, as part of that engagement, listen.
Right.
Listening is like the least common thing on social media. And in many ways, it's the hardest thing to do.
Yes. And at some point, you have to not beat yourself up automatically on the press.
Right. Yeah. There is a point where you move on.
Yeah.
But during the moment of the crisis,
yes,
you need to do this listening and this engagement.
Definitely.
You need to sympathize. You need to listen. You need to understand. You need not to offer excuses.
No.
For whatever happened. And basically, you need to be that person that's actually trying to engage and maybe not win people over, but minimize the damage. Because that's what this is about. You can't stop bad press from hurting you, but you can stop it from getting worse. And there's a great case study on this, actually. Way back in, I think it was the late 80s, early 90s, I can't remember when it was, Jack in the Box.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking killed people with tainted meat.
Yeah.
Their Jack in the Box is open. They're expanding. They're getting bigger. And part of that is because they handled it from a press side so well.
Right. And if there's any, there are any fans out there of Parks and Rec, look at how Ben Wyatt dealt with Ice Town.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm going to agree with you.
Yes, because basically he made a mistake when he was young and stupid, and the town was stupid for putting him in that position, but he never kind of lived it down, and then he had to overcome it in future press interviews and learn how to own up to it, but move on and show he was a different person.
Yes. Yeah. Handling a disaster, a press disaster well can minimize and limit the damage. It can limit how long it's in the social, in the news. Basically, though, what you want to avoid, unless it's necessary legally, you want to avoid hiding from it.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for this week. I said I'm not going to ask you about anything else. I'm going to assume you don't.
Correct. I just threw my everything else right before you asked.
Exactly.
Or didn't ask.
Well played. Well played. Well played. Well, that's all that we have for this week.
Yes.
So once again, this has been Haunt Weekly, episode 169, talking about how to deal with the news or the press. We are at hauntweekly.com. We have a great website that's still somewhat new. If you haven't checked it out in a while, check it out. We're also at Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, tinyurl.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. You can also find us on Google, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcast, Podomatic, Podbean, Pod Vacuum, Pod Mannequin. I'm making a lot of these up.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think I'm just rambling off things I see in the room.
Maybe.
I'm putting the word pod sewing machine.
Pod wigs.
Pod wigs, yes, pod wigs. But yes, follow us on all those fine platforms. Until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And we will see you guys next time.